Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, my name is Danilo Petrovic.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
I'm Evgeny Donskoy.
I'm Henry Laaksonen.
I'm Peter Turepko, and you're listening to the Game to Love podcast.
Ah, welcome back, tennis fans. Here we are, Game to Love, off the back of what was quite an epic tournament over in Monte Carlo, JG. We had Stefanos Tsitsipas winning his first Masters title against a very competitive Andre Rublev, who's always there or thereabouts in these big competitions these days.
Yeah. Well, not so much the big ones, but definitely the 500s and 250s. He's always been there. He went a step further, got to the final this year. And I'll be honest, it's not the final I was anticipating. I didn't think Rublev or Tsitsipas would be in the final. I was playing it very safe and boring, going for the Djokovic-Nadal final. It never come to fruition. I know you was in the same kind of mood. You thought it would be the same sort of pattern.
They're all hoping for it, mate.
I think it's probably we've just been so accustomed to seeing the big guys winning this tournament, notably Nadal over the years. It was just a bit crazy not to see either of them in there, considering they both entered. I think if you look at the stats, when the big guys are in the Masters or Grand Slam tournaments, the chances of neither of them coming into the final is more or less 0%. So it's mental, really, I must admit. But credit to Tsitsipas. What a player he now has become, in my opinion. I've always been a bit harsh on him, to be fair, on the podcast and talking to you in private. He's the guy who has all the ability, but just suffers at the last hurdle, the mental fragility of Stefanos Tsitsipas, serving out for sets, serving out for matches. I don't always fancy him too much, to be honest. A bit similar to a lot of the next-gen players. We saw it very evident in the US Open final with Thiem and Zverev. Shaky one there. And Tsitsipas for me is in the same kind of bracket.
Mate, definitely. It's just one of those things. It's still yet to be seen on the big stage, but he's starting to really step it up. I think it was a real positive start to the year this year for Tsitsipas, considering last year, obviously, he had the 6-match points against Borna Coric, went begging. Yep. That was in that. He might have done well in that US Open had he gone through, considering how shaky the final was between those two. But he got through in Australia against Rafael Nadal, managed to come back from 2-0 down against him, showing resolve, showing when he gets his foot on the pedal or on the gas, so to speak, he's nearly unstoppable by even these big players. And I just want to see him do it more often. And now you've seen him, he's backed that up sort of by just taking this Monte Carlo title. Granted, people are going to say, was this the hardest route to the final? No, you can only beat what's put in front of you. And he didn't drop a set the whole entire tournament, and he won it like at a canter. And Rublev, who beat Rafa on the Dow, didn't really stand a chance in that final. So,
and I want to echo exactly what you just said there, talking about people are going to jump on the bandwagon and say he didn't have a tough draw and kind of discredit his win. I think it's a load of nonsense, because the level he played at, if you watched how he was playing and the way he was performing, was outstanding. Yep. Didn't drop a set. And obviously, any final, I don't care who you play against, is going to be a very tough match. people have over the years have always said a finals a 50-50 match. It always comes down to that. There's an added element of nerves and pressure on it. And ultimately, they're both players are in the top of their game because they've got through all the other rounds. In this situation, he played a Rublev who's just beaten Rafael Nadal on clay in Monte Carlo. So it's not easy to be able to then follow that up and beat him, the guy who conquered Rafael Nadal. And that's why we've sort of led us to this whole title of the episode, people wondering, will Tsitsipas be able to beat Rafael Nadal at the French Open? Is he Rafael Nadal's biggest threat, would you say, now?
You would sort of think so after that performance. If he can produce that, and that was a big stage, and Monte Carlo is a big stage. It had the big names in there. It had the big two players, Rafa and Djokovic were in there. And Tsitsipas, if he had come up against Djokovic, the way Djokovic played against Evans, he definitely would have beaten him, him convincingly. And if he came up against, Nadal serving seven double faults, yeah, for sure, he would have beaten him as well. So I don't think if either of these players level drops and Tsitsipas is playing like that, he beats either of them for me. So Dominic Thiem, question mark, really. Hasn't played much tennis, since the Australian Open. We saw him, obviously, in Qatar. Not really seen him since. And
well, he's injured, isn't he? It's quite a shame to see Dominic Thiem sidelined. He's a guy who loves to play tennis. And we were always joking through the coronavirus times, he was playing more exhibitions than anyone. We couldn't get him off the court. Yep. So for him to be sidelined right now, I can imagine it's super, super tough. And it must be a pretty bad injury to keep him off the court. That's what I'm saying. But with regards to talking about Dominic Thiem in comparison to a Stefanos Tsitsipas, I think they're now in an even keel on clay, honestly. Yeah. I know Thiem's proved it more in the past. He's always been known as the Prince of Clay, the guy to sort of be the successor of Rafael Nadal. Tsitsipas, right up there for me now, 100%. And the reason being, I'm not basing this off this Monte Carlo tournament. In fact, it sort of starts last year at the French Open when he played against Djokovic. He was two sets down, brought it to a fifth set. Is that correct? He was two sets down, brought it to the fifth set. And it's hard to say because Djokovic was really good on the day. I thought he showed a lot of mental resolve in that final set and just did what he does best. Is that really that much hardship losing to Djokovic in the fifth set of a Grand Slam?
I don't think
it's hard to really judge Tsitsipas off of that. What I saw the level from him encouraged me enough for me to put him in the bracket of this guy's serious. Watch out, he can beat anyone.
Well, that's exactly what you've got to look at. I mean, granted, they're on the two opposite surfaces. He's played the world number one and world number two on maybe, say, their not favoured surface, but he has come back from two sets to love down against both of them. Had he not had that, it looked like cramping in the French Open in the fifth set. It looked like he was really struggling to move around the court. Had that not happened, I think that he would have taken out Djokovic in that and you would have seen him in the final versus Rafa. But he got the injury. He couldn't last. His body couldn't keep up with the level of tennis he was playing. And Djokovic, you know what he's like. He can go for days playing at that high level. Rafael Nadal, you saw what happened when he can put it together on the hard court. He came back, he beat him. And I think that would have given him the confidence to go into Monte Carlo. And I think if he'd have faced Rafa, like I said, I think he would have beaten Rafa in that tournament. I think he would have beaten anybody. I think he was playing the tennis we've always wanted to see Tsitsipas play. And he looked like he was a bit free of care. I think maybe his dad was on his side for a change. That's nice to see. He was quite emotional, his dad, at the end of that tournament as well. It was really nice to see there was a real bonding thing between him and his dad. You can tell they're very close, and that's why it gets a little bit tense in the stands a lot of the time, and he only wants to.
I think it was only nice that Monte Carlo because he won.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
You wait, if he'd have been down a few breaks against Rublev, I reckon we would have seen a different dynamic between him and his dad, to be honest, but that's just the way it goes. I just want to go to the chat quickly because we've got Shivam here saying he personally would say that Djokovic is still the biggest threat to Rafa Nadal at Roland Garros. Obviously, I don't think anyone can argue that Rafa's the favourite for Roland Garros. You'd be stupid to say that he isn't. You've seen what he's done there over the years.
Definitely.
He demolishes everyone. He doesn't even lose sets there. So to lose matches, it's hard to really see anyone beating him. But I'll be honest, I'm going to say this now. As a big Rafael Nadal fan, I would be more worried about him playing Tsitsipas at the French Open this year than Djokovic.
Yeah, mate, I would totally agree with that because you saw what he was able to do to Djokovic in that last final. I think that there's going to be a time when things just eventually change. Rafa can't be like unbeatable forever. You got to remember that he's human. He's shown he was human against Rublev. He can have an off day the same as anyone else. And it's hard to put together a string of victories across 2 weeks and play that high level of tennis. And the older you get, the harder it gets to perform at that level. Credit to them. They're still doing it into their mid-30s. So, I mean, in Federer, he's still doing it, well, into his late 30s. I mean, if they can get to that level, then Federer, a bit of an anomaly, really, to be doing it still that late into your career. If they still keep up with that and manage to play as well as he's done later in their career, fair play. But there's going to have to be a point where it starts like catching up with each other. And then we're going to see the teams and the Tsitsipases. It's not going to be, oh, it's 100% Rafa Nadal's going to win, or 90%. It's going to be 60-40. You won't be able to be a pick 'em. You won't be able to know who's going to win those matches because their mental side of their game, they're going to start winning more tournaments. It's going to improve. There's going to be a lot more fans, young fans, who are going to not know about Rafa Nadal maybe as much as maybe our generation, your generation. I think that there's going to be I think there's hope for the future for tennis. I just think that this generation has incredible tennis players. And it's just about putting it together on the big stage and the mental side of the game. I think Tsitsipas, if he can just get it over the line in one Grand Slam, we could see multiple Grand Slams from him.
Well, I want to build on that, what you just said about the mental side of the game. And something I just want to sort of reiterate there is the fact that now he's won a title on clay.
Yeah.
Being his first big title on clay, that means surely he's going to be, I think it's his first ever title on clay, if I'm not mistaken.
He won one in Estoril in 2019 in
Portugal.
Okay,
so I'll stick with what I first said. The first big title on clay.
Yeah.
That is going to now give him so much confidence going into a Roland Garros. He's never entered a French Open tournament ever in his whole career off the back of a big success on clay. Now he has. How is that going to influence his game? Surely he's going to have a few more, I don't know, the mental side. Surely it's going to help him massively, leaps and bounds. He can go back to the memory tank and think, you know what? I won that. I dug in against Rublev in the final. I can do it again.
I think so. I think that there is only so long that you can be like mentally beating yourself up as well, because there's got to be a time when he finally lets go, or he gets the right coaching, or he gets the right, maybe he sees a hypnotist, maybe he gets something that's got to change, because when you got that much talent, it's just going to go to waste. And we can't see this amount of talent. The same with Dominic Thiem as well. He's due to win many more slams if he wants it and if he can get that mental side right. Because
but I want to just quickly say something on Dominic Thiem, because he's come out recently and talked about some of the mental health troubles he's had. I've not been able to see it all. I'm not sure if you have, but I'll let you speak about it if you have. But for me, it's hard to see. Thanks for raising that, Jordan. It's obviously a tough time right now with what's happening in the world. There's people's minds are in bits, I'll be honest. There's so many people going to be suffering from mental health off the back of this pandemic, more so than all the physical repercussions. And that's why my thoughts go out to everyone. Everyone watching this who is suffering with any kind of mental issues whatsoever. Obviously, we're always here if you want to talk to us about anything, as a platform, or even just people in the live chat, come talk in the Discord about tennis or anything to really escape yourself from the troubles of life. And Dominic Thiem right now seems to be going through a bit.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Well, he did do an interview, I think, fairly recently. And then he was just talking about that, obviously, like you were saying.
I didn't catch much of it, I must admit.
The mental side of tennis. I just sort of brought it up quickly just to have a quick look through. And they were just sort of asking him about how difficult it's been really during this time, during lockdown. And he says it's just impacting him massively. I think he's the type of player, like you saw, he was trying to stay so active as well throughout that period. I don't think he deals well with being reined in with his training, with his all his activity, because you've seen what's happened now. Like he's suffering with a knee injury now as well. Hopefully that doesn't affect his mental health as well.
It's not going to have a positive impact, is it? He's somebody who wants to be playing tennis.
Well, Clay as well. Like, this is what I mean.
It's the worst season for him. This is his favourite season, the bit he looks forward to most in the season.
Yeah.
It's just taken away from him.
Well, definitely. I'm hoping he sort of came out and he said he's not fully fit yet. So he withdrew from the Belgrade tournament due to the knee injury. But I don't think, from what I was reading, it didn't sound as serious, but I think it's just precautionary that he said it wasn't a big issue. So that's as far as he's gone with that comment. He probably doesn't want to let on too much as well. Players like to keep a little bit secret when it comes to their injuries. You don't want players exploiting it when you're playing them as well. Mm-hmm. So, well, wish him all the recovery in the world. I want to see him at that French Open as much as anybody.
Honestly, all of them. Honestly, team there. Honestly, Tsitsipas, Nadal, Djokovic, all Karatsev. Battling it out for this big trophy. Karatsev as well. But you've got to be honest, he's definitely in the tier below right now. But he's challenging them. He's doing well. Let's see what Karatsev can offer there. We've got some young guns as well. Massetti still playing really well. Alcaraz, I know he went out today. We'll touch on that later in the episode. Mate. There's someone actually, sorry, I'm not ignoring you, Gus. I did see your comment. It's quite an interesting one.
Yeah.
You think Wawrinka has enough left in the tank to make another run at Roland Garros?
Me personally, no, I don't think so. I think that he doesn't look as fast around the court as what he used to. I think he's still got the weapon there just to fire that backhand, but is it enough? I don't think it is.
I don't think it's enough for a slam or a big tournament. Maybe see him win a 250 or something, maybe a smaller event. He's definitely got the firepower, like Ben said, to get all the way to a final and win that. I have no doubts about that whatsoever. To go into a Masters tournament, say Rome or something like that coming up, Madrid, I don't fancy him personally. I'm all for it as well. I'd love to see a big resurgence of Wawrinka. You can never write any player off. Apologies, Almina. I know you're a big fan. We all are, to be fair. We all watched and we grew in love with tennis. A bit like a Songa as well. We're seeing him come back now. He's struggling, lost to Gerasimov earlier.
I hate to see it.
But these are big icons in the sport and people who, me personally, I can only tell my story. Growing up, watching the sport, like I remember them when I was first really getting into it and just how they were playing. I'm a bit younger than a lot of yous. And watching them guys just smacking the ball back and forth inspired me. I loved it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, he's an incredible
player. I grew to love tennis off the back of a lot of these
guys. That's why he's got 3 Grand Slam titles, because when he puts it together, he is nearly impossible to play against, Stan. Incredible player, incredible tools. Hopefully we can see him make at least a nice little run at one of the Grand Slams again. Yeah. I'd love to see it. I think the maximum he's got in the tank is maybe a quarter final, if I'm honest, though. I'm not going to go too overkill on what he's got left. But prove me wrong, Stan. I want to see it.
I'm actually on a complete the same page as you on this one, Ben.
Mate,
I want to agree on something.
It makes a change, doesn't it? I was going to say about Tsitsipas, though. I think what's really positive for him, because we're talking about generational tennis as well, how Rafael Nadal and Djokovic and obviously Federer as well. That is that generation. Tsitsipas, he's very big in social media. He has a very big following in social media. He's very good on his, he has like YouTube channels, he's on Twitter, obviously on Instagram, loves filming, loves creating stuff as well. He's a very creative player. I think this really resonates a lot with young people as well. He obviously is still very young himself, but this is only going to be positive for him when he goes into tournaments. He's going to be able to interact so much more with fans. I think he's going to have a massive following, and if he can just put like the performances onto the court like he did in Monte Carlo, this is going to be huge for his career. I think that he can really, if he gets a Grand Slam under his belt, he's off to the races, mate.
I agree. I think he is a superstar in the making.
Yeah, mate, he's massive.
And we wait for the big three to retire. Stefanos Tsitsipas is the guy to sort of step up, I feel, and take it by the reins. And people are going to get behind him, no doubt. I think there's some interesting rivalries forming as well. Some, like you said, some really top talents. They're not necessarily the as great as what we've seen with the big three, but they're still ridiculously good tennis players. And I'm excited to see what this next era of tennis has in store, personally.
Man, I'm super excited. I think that it's interesting as well, because there's probably, if he was to win a Grand Slam or even potentially a couple of Grand Slams, I think there's going to be sponsorships chomping at the bit.
It's like Osaka. I think he's like the male equivalent of Osaka.
Look at the guy. Very marketable. So marketable. Look at him. I mean, he's got a massive following. He's a very good looking guy, plays up to it, got swagger, has a bit of like banter as well, as a funny guy, put Nick Kyrgios's phone number on the internet for his birthday, stuff like that. He's got a lot of game about him, and there's a lot to like. So I think
Though, Ben, I know you've always said this to me, I'm a bit more boring than you. I know we call you Boring Ben sometimes on the podcast. For me, I look at it as like, I don't really care too much about all that. I want to judge them on their tennis. And ultimately, the guy for me who's going to get my most following is the one I like watching on the tennis court and who's the most entertaining at tennis. And be honest, he's got that. That's what is saleable for me. He's not a boring tennis player. He's got a lot of flair. His hands are good. He'll mix up play. He's quite vocal at times. He gets the crowd going with big shots. Bit of a showman. I love him on court. I think you can't really watch a Tsitsipas match and not be entertained. You can be frustrated if you're a fan in the past.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't get me wrong, because he is very frustrating. You just know he's so much better than sometimes the performances he puts out. But as a whole product, the guy is incredible. And let's just focus on some of the results recently. I know you've got the screenshot there, but let's just share it.
Yeah, okay.
I'll just add that to the stream. So you can see this was the final. So Tsitsipas Rublev beat him in straight sets, just over the hour, 6-3, 6-3. Crazy. Really good result for him. Rublev was on fire as well.
Yeah.
And I think I was saying it on the live watch long. For me, that performance I saw from him was one of the best I've ever seen on clay.
Well, that's why I've just sort of clicked it and filtered it by the clay, so we can sort of go back and look at his body of work on clay recently. And maybe we can sort of pick out some performances and you can sort of let us know what parts of his game do you think that he has that really could test someone like Rafa playing his top game, because it's a real difficult customer to play on clay. But Tsitsipas, I think with that single-handed backhand,
he's got a weapon off both wing. That's how you beat Rafa Nadal. You need to be able to be aggressive off both sides, and he can do that, certainly. He can also mix it up as well. His volleying's incredible. But I'm not going to be recency biased here and just be delusional about the whole thing. I'm backing my man Rafa Nadal. I still don't think he beats him at Roland Garros. I'm just saying I think he's the biggest competitor to him. And that's why I wanted to pose that is the title of the podcast. And we should actually cover that to the point. And that's why I want to see your stance completely. Well, who would you say it is? Would you say Djokovic is a better chance of beating Nadal or Tsitsipas? Or team?
I think Dominic Thiem is difficult to include in the conversation at the moment due to injury. So I don't really want to bring him into the conversation at the moment. If he comes back and we see him perform, maybe.
This might change your thing. Santorin Dolo, is that?
Yeah, maybe.
He's on the clay, he's winning maybe again. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm actually over the moon about that. But
mate, he's looking great. He's looking good as well. For me, I think Rafa's he's still going to be the one to beat, maybe for the next couple of years. Until I see something, I don't read too much into the fact it was his first clay court tournament back. The same as against Schwartzman. I know it sounds frustrating to say, and there's people who are going to say, oh, you're just disrespecting like the opposition. But if Rafa loses on clay, he's normally had an off day. It's not normally because the opponent played out of their skin and managed to beat him. It does happen, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
Schwartzman and he did play better probably than what Rublev played against him. Schwartzman was incredible that day. Rublev was great as well, but he still managed to sort of be coming back into that match somehow. Rafa, he was allowing him back into it with some sloppy shots. But I think for me, Rafa, it's his to lose. He loses matches.
Well, without the serving disaster class, let's be honest, Rublev wouldn't have had the same chance.
No, exactly. So that's what I mean. I think Tsitsipas, if that had been that Rafa, he could have maybe served slightly less double faults against Tsitsipas. Let's say halve them down to three double faults or something in the match, and maybe a few errors into the net. I think Tsitsipas is right there. You could be in like maybe potentially a five setter if he's playing the way he's playing in Monte Carlo. And that, imagine that. How exciting would that be? Rafa being taken all the way to the brink. It could be a while, and it could be like that for a while. Rafa might be taken to five sets on clay first before he loses, and finally someone overtakes him. It might just be he starts struggling a bit more and gets four set wins, five set wins, and not the straight sets tournament that we saw in the last French Open. But we'll have to wait and see, mate. It's one of those unknown entities. You can see.
Well, let's have a look at these. So the loss there is the French Open semi-final against Djokovic.
Yeah.
Come so close, two sets down, 3-2. You've got another one there, Hamburg final against Rublev. It's another close three sets.
Yeah.
You can see the type of people he's losing to here.
Yes.
And there's... Can you really be too harsh on him for losing these ones? These are real... These are the very best on clay. So it just shows.
Yeah.
And they've all, he's got a set in all of these. It's only one set separating them. It's still going. Yannick Sinner, he lost in Rome.
Rublev, he should have beaten. 5-3 up in that final set against Rublev. Should have beaten him. Mental side of the game. Hopefully he's improved it. Sinner.
That was a terrible one. I remember that one.
I think Sinner just.
Tsitsipas was awful.
Yeah. He just about terrible.
One of the worst performances ever seen. Didn't deserve the set. He was so bad on the day. It can happen. Like he's been inconsistent over the years. I'm starting to see that sort of creep out of his game now. I think we're seeing a more prime Tsitsipas. Hopefully, we don't see more of the Sinner performances. But saying that, he still took a set off Sinner, and Sinner's world class. So
the Wawrinka one was obviously the year before.
Yep,
incredible. Obviously, you know how good Wawrinka is on clay, and 8-6 in the final set against Wawrinka. He was two sets to one down, pulled it back to 2-2. I think we can forgive him for that. Wawrinka at the French Open, come on.
Yeah.
So, move on. Do you want to have a quick look down?
Yeah, keep going down, mate. Keep going down, see if there's any more. You got that, what's that?
Nadal
straight
again.
Sets, Rafa Nadal in Rome. You've got Djokovic straight set in Madrid. You've got loads of greens here still, though. Beating a lot of players. As you can see there, a big one that stands out is he beat, obviously, Madrid. He beat Rafael Nadal and Zverev there.
Yeah, man.
Of course, you can't mention it. So the guy is incredible. He's been doing good things for a few years now, and he's getting very close. Honestly, as much as I'm saying Rafael Nadal beats him on clay, I think Tsitsipas takes a set off him, for sure. I think he's definitely got that. I'll be surprised if Rafa can whitewash him in straight sets.
That's what I mean, mate. I think it's only going to be a matter of time.
It's closing the gap.
Like, do you think? I don't even think it's a true representation of Rafa. Just seeing him play one bad match. That's the problem. Like, you see him play that, and you're like, "Oh, is he done?" Like, no, but he's not. That's just him. He has one of those probably every year, and then he just goes on. He steamrolls people for the rest of the clay court season. So we got to wait to see if that he still has that in the locker, because we've seen Rafa even at Wimbledon. I know it's not the same, but we've seen him go out early doors in Wimbledon, and that's a Grand Slam. It was like shock defeat to like Rosal, someone like that. Does he have that in him? If he serves seven double faults against anybody and plays the way he did against Rublev in the first round in Roland Garros, he could go out. I'm not. That's just reality. You play that badly, you could go out. And I'm hoping that he doesn't have more of those performances in him. I'm sure he just, against someone like Rublev, you just can't. That's the sort of the level. I think anyone below Rublev, he might have still been able to get it over the line, even with a terrible performance. But yeah, Rublev's top of the pack at the moment. So yeah, no chance. But anyway, yeah, looking down, obviously we're going back 2019 there. That's when he won in Estoril.
Yep.
That was a maiden clay court win there for him. Well, in ATP events, so he had one challenger.
I don't count it. Sorry about that earlier. It's just because I do count it. It's just like, it's not a big tournament, is it? No offense. It's a good win to get under your belt, but when we're talking about the top of the sport, it's more the sort of the bigger ones.
Now me, 12 Travel, sorry, saying I had tickets for Philip Chatrier that day. So gutted when they put Wawrinka versus Tsitsipas on the Suzanne Long.
Poor decision.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Oh, that's so,
been so upset.
Such bad luck. That is a very bad luck.
I'm not sure what Spyro's saying. Sinner is Italian, not Romanian. We've always said Sinner's Italian.
Not
sure what's going on there.
Wrong country flag. Anyway, we'll keep
We can't really look too much into these other ones here. There's a few more losses here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's obviously improved since then.
He's improved a lot the last 3 years. Yeah. He's a different player than 3 years ago.
It's got Donskoy on there. Go on, Donskoy. Evgeny getting one over on him. Del Potro, mate. Oh, God. Well, is he ever going to come back?
It's amazing he got to play him, though.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's one you'll always remember, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Mate, sad to see Del Potro. Hopefully he comes back at some point. I think he's in the category with Murray, if I'm honest, though.
Yep.
I don't think we're going to see Del Potro or Murray challenging really again.
I just want to see him step out on court. That's all I want to see. I just want to see him get back on court and see what happens from there, because I'll be ecstatic with that. Oh, Jordan's just saying it said Rome, because that's Roma. It was in Rome, the tournament. It's not Romania.
No, I was getting confused on that whilst we were doing the
It's easy to get mixed up. It's just the way it has it. It's flash scores, the way that it's all laid out.
Every time I was looking at it, I was looking at Mon, and I kept thinking Monterey, and I kept wanting to say that, but it's not. It's obviously Monte Carlo. But luckily, I refrained from announcing it. But but
anyway, guys, what I wanted to just quickly say, Ben, is if anyone in the chat, let us know what your thoughts on this is. Do you think Tsitsipas is the closest to potentially knocking Rafael Nadal out of a Roland Garros victory? Like, he's been winning it every year. He's been walking the tournament. Can Tsitsipas stop him in his tracks? He definitely looks good. Obviously, the winner of Monte Carlo. He's playing some really good tennis now, growing in confidence. Let us know what you think. Put it in the chat or also in the comments below. Be interesting to see what your guys' thoughts are on the whole thing.
Yeah, do you want to have a quick, brief look through just some of the results before we go?
Let's do that.
Okay, I'll just I'll just share that. I'm conscious there's a few matches today that destroyed my bracket. But let's go through some of them. As you can see there's the first one on the list, the Moutet, just beating Dominic Kuepfer in straight sets. You called it, JG. Well done to you. Yeah. Holger Rune out, Ramos through. Gasquet, we both had Gasquet, mate. Close.
Yep, got that one wrong. That was ended up in a tie break. Mercedes I had Fekina, that one.
Yeah, Bublik. Go on the Bublik. Yeah, so Bublik, Alcaraz, mate. I had that one on earlier. I was watching it so close, but I think people just disrespected TFO. They got on the hype train.
I think we've just put a bit too much on young Alcaraz's shoulders. There's too much pressure on the guy.
Too much.
The bookies, you can see they had him as such a big favorite, really. It's pretty mental.
Yeah, mate. I mean, it was evident, really. TFO looked like he was there to prove a point as well, like he was the underdog in the matchup and he was just not going to go away. And I think experience told there today. And Alcaraz played great in some spells, don't get me wrong, he played some incredible shots. The TFO was solid, deserved the win. Goffin through against Herbert. Chardy out. Shapovalov shouldn't have gone against him, should I? So that's me. Another one. You think you had Shapo, didn't you?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if I had Goffin.
Oh, did you not? I think you had Herbert, didn't you?
Yeah.
I went Batista Agut. He scared me in the first set, but went through fairly comfortably.
Oh, you got him in the second.
Yep. Norrie.
Mate, Norrie's doing it against Hachinov. Yeah, looks like he's going to knock him out.
Just broke.
Fair play, Cam Norrie.
Mate, he's going to do it. He's going to prove us wrong, mate. I had him going out first round. He's got through another round. He's going to really try and destroy my bracket again. He always does. Sinner, mate. I think we had both had that.
Yeah.
Into Belgrade, Del Bonis. That's one bad one for you.
Bruce Savory withdrew, which is annoying because we put him through. But that's the one I want to talk about, Ben. The one that's in play right now. Francisco Cerundolo against Popperin. Upper set on serve. Can he do it, the boy?
Mate, indeed. Can he do it? Oh, Laszlo Zsér's out. No, that was my dark horse, I think. Terrible. I didn't see that one.
That's shocking, to be fair. I'm surprised he lost that.
Rinder Neck went through. I had this one. I called this one earlier. Kwon Soon-Woo.
Yeah. I had the same.
Yeah, this one, I had Badeni to win, mate. He's looking good. He's a setup. I didn't want Karatsev to face Korda again. Come on, Badeni. Let's knock Korda out. I want to see Karatsev Badeni next round.
Nice one.
So, yeah, I think that, I don't know. Should we quickly have a quick scan?
You can have a quick look, but I've got a head off in 2 minutes' time.
As you can see here, there's an embarrassing one. 6-1, 6-love, Kasatkina.
Mate, we were talking how good she is, and can she do it on the clay court? She's answered it. You can do it. I think she's going to win, mate. I think she could go all the way.
Zvonareva looking good. Krajicova, look at that. I said to you earlier, didn't I? I was worried about her. And then look at that, 6-2. You're like, she'll be fine. 6-2, 6-love in the last two sets. And Ferro beats Martic, mate. The big one.
Wait, is Ferro my winner? I think she is.
Mate, we both needed her to get to the final, so we needed that
one. I don't
know
if I have her winning the whole thing, but I've got her going. I think I've got her going all the way, but that's a good one for me because that's a really tricky one. I think she's got an easier run going forwards. Sabalenka there is underway against Tseng. Kvitova won.
I called that one. Alexandrova.
Yeah, and I got that wrong. I had Mukova, so she's let me down. But it seemed like it was a free set. Could have gone either way.
How is Dan Evans is through again, mate, in the doubles. He's loving it on the clay courts. Go on, Dan. He's loving it. Clay court supremo. Right.
Anyway, guys, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for joining us on this one. Before I go, I just want to say one thing. We have some special news which will be coming soon to the channel. Go check us out in the Discord and you'll be able to find out some more information about it. It'll be coming very soon.
Yes.
But one thing I do want to say is if we do have any keen tennis enthusiasts who like writing about tennis and who want to appear on our website as a writer, we have some really great ideas about upcoming tennis players, women's tennis, men's tennis, challengers tennis, whatever really your passion is and what drives you forward in the sport, we would love to hear from you. Basically, message us either on Twitter, Instagram, on Discord, and we can arrange it and get you really involved in the GTL family and producing some really quality content for the new website, which would hopefully be launching very soon.
Yeah, indeed. And also just want to give a quick shout out, Rupak, obviously the winner of the Monte Carlo Masters on the bracket league. Well done to you. Yeah, your prize is heading out to you very shortly. So keep your eyes peeled on the channel. Hit the bell button to be notified because we're going to be bringing you even more content with maybe some live watch-alongs later this week.
Yeah, no worries. We'll see you guys soon.
See you later, guys. Sports Social Podcast Network.